risen. He is risen indeed. This is an event which happens every Sunday for Christians because Easter happened on a Sunday. We worship every week on Sunday. This is our Easter celebration, even though we're not together. And we're going to read about that event that took place 2,000 years ago, but an event which is recorded many times in the New Testament and predicted many times in the Old Testament. We're going to read from the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they, the women, went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise?" And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other woman with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. And he saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. This is Easter. He is risen. There are two things I want you to discover with me in this story, in the events that took place on this day so long ago. They are first the victory of Jesus. His vindication, that's a great word, vindication. It means to prove, to justify, to defend. Your family may think that you have hogged the last piece of pie this afternoon, and then you're vindicated when your pesky brother confesses that he was the one who ate that last piece of pie. Jesus is vindicated, and so are those who claimed that he was the Messiah, the prophets and the apostles who said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," and, of course, Jesus. Jesus said, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And on the third day, he will be raised to life." All are vindicated on an Easter morning, but all the powers that the forces of evil and of death itself could prevent the empty tomb. Jesus of Nazareth lives, and he reigns with authority after the resurrection. Jesus didn't just survive, he actually thrives and continues to live and be at work in this world and in the kingdom of heaven, and promises to come again. That's one of the messages of Easter. The second is that you and I are vindicated on Easter morning. Yes, Easter vindicates us. It's at first hard for us to understand or know what we're experiencing when we think of or celebrate an Easter event. But we are set free through our celebration. We are explained and we are avenged, but That is a fact that I'd like to explore with you over these next few moments. Vindicated. When I was a young man, my family had a cabin up at Lake Tahoe. And after Easter, my father was a pastor. We would go up there for a week or two and relax. Now, Lake Tahoe in March is cold and snowy, sometimes windy, but Lake Tahoe has a reputation for being extremely cold, even in the hottest summer days. But one of the signs and tests of manhood in my family was to go swimming at Easter in Lake Tahoe. And I remember going down there with my brothers and sisters and contemplating that possibility. Each year, my father would remind me, he would say, "You know why you do that? Because you have such a bad memory, you can't remember how cold it was last Easter." I think I would do it because I was vindicated by diving into Lake Tahoe in March. I proved I could conquer the cold. I could conquer Lake Tahoe. Not that the cold or Tahoe even cared what I did, but I did. And I was vindicated the fact that I, in spite of the cold, dove into that brutally cold lake. I also was vindicated by by a discovery that I was capable of that. I was the first one to dive into the lake, at least the first one in our family. I was the first one to dive into the lake, that cold lake in March. And I had shown that I could conquer that cold and the lake and survive to tell about it. But also, you could say that I had also won a victory for everyone else. I had proven not only that I could dive in and swim in the lake in March, but so could others. And inevitably, my brothers would join me as my sisters would throw snowballs at us. That was our vindication. And Easter morning is when Jesus showed us that he was the victor over death. He conquered death. He did. He plunged into the murky waters of death and he rose from the dead. You know, I love that question the angels asked the women there in the cemetery. The women go expecting to find the cadaver, the body of Jesus. And there they're met by these two men in shining garments. We assume they're angels. And the angels ask this question: "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" I don't think the women really understood what the question was, but I think that we can. And I think it's a very profound question, because there is the temptation to look for the living among the dead, to be so focused on death and the dying that we really lose the whole message of life. You see, it would be 4 full hours before the women would understand what that question means. But when they do, they realize it means they, the women, have life. And yes, life even beyond death itself. That is one of the testimonies of the empty tomb. I think the angels asked the question, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" as a question to you and me. It's a question for us. Ask it. In this day of coronavirus, this virtual Easter service, it's hard not to think about death. Think about the things that we need to do to avoid dying from the coronavirus, or that we need to do to help others not die from the coronavirus, or not to remember that 14,000 and counting Americans who have died from the coronavirus just in the last few weeks. This Easter is our opportunity to declare and to discover that virtually life is found in the empty tomb, not in the graveyard. Life is found in the risen Lord. Do you know one of the interesting cycles in church history, human history? It was that when Jesus rose from the dead, the church couldn't be less interested in where he had been buried, where the tomb was located. That interest only showed up years, hundreds of years later, by tourists looking for the tomb of Jesus. The tourists looking for the tomb of Jesus have come to a number of conclusions and controversies. You know, for example, there is the Church of the Sepulchre, which claims to be where the tomb of Jesus was. And there is the Tomb of the Garden. And then there is the Talpiot tomb. And there are some tombs. There is even a claim that really Jesus' tomb was in Japan. I don't think any of them are right. We'll never know. And by the way, we shouldn't be bothered to look or even to ask, which is a really unusual thing, especially for the early church. Because in the early church, tombs were important. Even to this day, the Jews identify Mount Zion as the place where King David is buried. And it's the most holy place for the Jew to visit. Egypt is just one great land of tombs. One pyramid after the other, 118 pyramids, the three great ones, covering and marking the place where pharaohs and commoners and even animals are buried. Where has Jesus been buried? Who cares? Once you've seen one empty tomb, you've seen them all. An empty tomb is an empty tomb. We're not interested in empty tombs. We're interested in the one who is alive, who is continuing to be the vindication for all of us who would be from empty tombs. You see, there's an ethical implication here. And the ethical implication is this, that when you're focused on life, when you realize that life does not end in death, then life and living becomes the theme of every day. You don't wake up asking yourself, how do I survive this day? No, you wake up saying, how can I live this day? Because the days in Christ are infinite. It's not just positive thinking that Easter embodies. We're not living in a post-Christian era when people are wondering whether they even need a Savior or a Christ. I think we're living in a post-resurrection era. And people are realizing that to have life, you need to have the vindication, you need to have the proof that life wins. Death need no longer be the factor in our living or our decisions of life. So what made it possible for Peter to believe? We're told that when he was first told, he didn't understand and he didn't believe. He thought it was an idle tale. But then we're told that he went to the tomb and then he fell down and he went into the tomb and there he saw the folded linen clothes. Jesus didn't need them anymore. And he went home marveling at what had happened. Peter saw and he believed, very much like Thomas. Thomas saw and he believed. I want to make another observation here. Jesus leads the way for us through death into life. It's not just Jesus' victory that Easter is about. It's about our victory. Jesus made a promise. And this was his promise. Because I live, you shall live also, he said. So this vindication not only has him in mind, it has us in mind. And our ethics and our instincts are built on this assumption that there is nothing but future for us in Christ. The end of your life is not an inky abyss, but instead is the kingdom of heaven. I love the way the Bible reads. When Peter sees the empty tomb, we are told that he went home marveling at what had happened. It's great. That word marveling, theimazo, is a word that means in Greek astonished. He was shocked. He was amazed. What was Peter shocked and amazed about? What did he go home with? He went home with the understanding that he, Peter, could have life forever in Jesus Christ. Jesus took Peter's sin, everything that separated Peter from God, even death itself, and exposed it to the light of salvation. C.S. Lewis gives a marvelous illustration in his little book called Miracles. I highly commend it. But in this, he gives this illustration. He says, one may think of a diver, first reducing himself to nakedness, and then glancing in midair, then gone with a splash, vanished, rushing down through green and warm water into black and cold water, down through increasing pressure into the death-like region of ooze and slime and old decay. Then up again, back to color and light, his lungs almost bursting, till suddenly he breaks surface again, holding in his hand the dripping, precious thing that he went down to recover. He and it are both colored now that they have come up into the light. Down below where it lay colorless in the dark, he lost his color too. Isn't that beautiful? He went down, Jesus, into death in order to take and retrieve you and me from death itself and bring us up into the light of the kingdom of heaven. Not only what a sacrifice, but what a vindication, what a proof, what a reality. Yes, I know, death is for real, but so is Easter. Jesus showed the world that death could be conquered. He conquered it. That's the second thing he showed the world, that he conquered it, not just anybody. And third, Jesus said to all those who love him, come on in. The water's fine. This is not the end. Or to put it in Jesus' words, I tell you the truth. He who lives has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert. They died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Easter is when Jesus was vindicated, and Easter is when you are also vindicated. There is a poem written by John Updike. He wrote it, amazingly, when he was a junior in the University of Harvard. It may have been the very first poem he ever had published. But it's an Easter poem, and it's called Seven Stanzas at Easter. Make no mistake, if he rose at all, it was as his body. If the cell's dissolution did not reverse, the molecules re-knit, the amino acids rekindle, the church would fail. It was not as the flowers, each soft spring recurrent. It was not as his spirit in the mouths and fuddled eyes of the 11 apostles. It was as his flesh, ours. The same hinged thumbs and toes, the same valved heart that pierced, died, withered, paused, and then regathered out of enduring might, new strength to enclose. Let us not mock God with metaphor, analogy, sidestepping transcendence, making of the event a parable, a sign painted in the faded credulity of earlier ages. No, let us walk through the door. Stone is rolled back, not paper mache, not a stone in a story, but the vast rock of materiality that in the slow grinding of time will eclipse for each of us the wide light of day. And if we will have an angel at the tomb, make it a real angel, weighty with Max Planck's quanta, vivid with hair, opaque in the dawn light, robed in real linen spun on a definite loom. Let us not seek to make it less monstrous for our own convenience, our own sense of beauty, lest awakened in one unthinkable hour, we are embarrassed by the miracle and crushed by remonstrance. Oh, yes, Easter's for real. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Easter is God's victory over death, paid for with the sacrifice of his son, Jesus. Yes, Easter is the confidence in the empty tomb. And to see the empty tomb is to see life. And to see life is to know that it is forever. Amen. He is risen. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for coming into this world as a real human being, taking on our flesh and our lives, and in doing so, taking our place upon a cross, receiving the worst that we can do to you or any human being, and then proving our worst is no match for your best. And oh Lord, because you emptied the tomb, we have confidence in living out every day, no matter the crisis, no matter the sickness or the disease, no matter the sorrow or the temptation, you are the victor. Amen.